Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a response of the day for the 28th of Cheshvan. We're going to talk about Rav Moshe Feinstein's discussion of which comes first, Musaf with a minyan or Shacharit. So that's going to be from Igrot Moshe, Ora Chaim Chelek Dalid. The fourth time he approached Ora Chaim, Simon Sama Chet, the 68th response, and it's from the 28th of Cheshvan of Tufshin Mem of late 1979. And he's writing it to his grandson, Mordechai Tendler. And this is the question. Somebody comes to shul, and the shul has already gotten to, they finish Shacharit, and there's a lot of time left until Zman Kriya Shema is over. So there's a couple of ways this could happen. The easiest way to think of it is that this man goes to an early minyan, let's say a Vatikin minyan that starts with sunrise, or let's say a 7 o'clock minyan even, so he gets there late. So it's a day with Musaf, because the question only comes up in terms of whether he should daven Musaf with them. The question is, should he daven Musaf with them, and then he'll get Tfilah B'Tzibur, he'll get to join a community for the davening of Musaf, and or he can say Shacharis first. And the point is that there's plenty of time to say Shacharit, say Kriyat Shema and Shacharit. So let's say if it's a 7 o'clock minyan and the man gets there at on a Shabbos morning to have missed Shacharit with them, let's say it's 7:40, 35, right? So he's missed Shacharit with them, and now he's got a choice. He can catch up, but while he's catching up, they'll daven Musaf and he'll miss it. Although I guess that would have to mean he probably missed some of laning too. Whatever it is, that's the situation. And this is the choice that he has to make. Now, I don't know the shul this man is in, I don't know the question, but in this particular instance, Rav Moshe is going to have other examples of this question which are more practical to me and more understandable, but in this example of the question, I find it always interesting because I wonder if it's a shul that only has a minyan at that time, meaning many shuls have minyanim later, so the man could wait and daven with a later minyan and make it up that way and not have to worry about this problem and just decided not to. I know that I used to daven at an 8 o'clock minyan on Shabbat mornings, and there was in that shul that I was davening, and there was an 8:45 minyan, and there was a 9 o'clock minyan, and people would walk in at 8:38, 8:40 to this 8 o'clock minyan, having missed a tremendous amount of things, and just go in and catch up whatever they did. Whatever the answer to Rav Moshe's question, we'll get to it in a second, and they handled however they handled it, but they didn't seem to think to themselves, I missed enough of this minyan that I should go to this later minyan that's about to start. So I've always wondered about that, but that's not Rav Moshe's question. So we're going to just take for granted this man's choice is, or a woman's choice, I guess, but it seems like the question is from a man. Daven Shacharit on his own, catching up, and in that way he'll miss, apparently, Musaf with the minyan. And then he'll miss Tfilah B'Tzibur. He'll miss davening with a community. Or say Musaf with a minyan and then later come back and say Shacharit. And the only problem is he said Shacharit out of order. Now, in the question, apparently Mordechai Tendler thought the problem was that that violates a principle in halacha. It does violate this principle, but he thought this was the only problem. And his grandfather's going to point out other problems. He thought that it violated the problem of Tadir v'sheino tadir, tadir kodim, that when we have a choice between two things that we're going to do, two rituals, two mitzvot, two practices we're going to have, and one is a tadir, one comes up more often than the other, we generally do the tadir first. Okay, so that's what he's thinking. We say shacharit, morning prayer, every day. We say musaf only on specific days. So shacharit is clearly more tadir, more regular in the Jewish life and in the Jewish year, and so therefore you think that it has come first. So the question is, does that principle outweigh the value of tefillah b'tzibur, the value of praying with a community? Or do we say no, he has to start right, and therefore, so does he have to start shacharit first, do the tadir first, or say musaf with the community? So Rav Moshe Feinstein starts his answer by saying it's not only a problem of Tadir, because there's several Psukimi points that the Gemara understands to mean that Shacharis has to come first. So how does he get there? The Gemara in Pesachim on Nunchet Amud Bet has a discussion there about the order of the day in the Beit HaMikdash. And that's because they wanted to tell you that Pesach, the Korban Pesach, the Pesach sacrifice, is an exception in that it comes after everything else on the day on the Beit HaMikdash, day of Korbanot of sacrifice. But that we can talk about another time. That's not our topic. But the Gemara says, "Minayin shelo yehi davar kodem l'tamid shel shachar." How do you know that in the Beit HaMikdash, nothing comes before the offering of the morning sacrifice? So Talmud Lamar, "Ve'arach aleha ha'ula." that he will arrange on it ha'ula ve'amarav, and the Rava says whatever he says, but Rashi explains there that ha'ula is understood to mean ha'ula ha'chashuva, the important burnt offering, the important completely burnt offering, ha'amurat chila, that is said before all the other olot. And if you look in the daily sacrifices, the first one mentioned is the olat ha'tamid, the tamid sacrifice, the morning sacrifice of shacharit. It also sounds like it's a similar idea over there in that Gemara, says Rav Moshe, to the idea that nothing should come after the Tamid Shel Ben Harbayim, the daily sacrifice for the afternoon that we commonly call Mincha, but it was really called the Tamid Shel Ben Harbayim, the daily sacrifice for between the two settings of the sun, whatever that is, we can get another time, because in that same Braita, they have the next limud, the next inference from a verse, which is, how do you know that nothing is offered after the daily sacrifice of between the of the settings of the sun? Because the pasuk says, "V'iktir aleha chelveh hashelamim," that he will offer on it, meaning near it or when it's there, the fats of the various sacrifices. So that's a limud, it's an inference from the same pasuk. So therefore we say, it sounds like, it's not a question of tadir v'sheino tadir, it's another halacha that comes into play. Right, it's true, putting the shacharit sacrifice, if we had, just without any other textual support, we had the shacharit sacrifice and the musaf sacrifice, we were trying to figure out which to offer first, it's true, tadir v'sheino tadir is a general principle in halacha that would have led us to assume that we would offer the shacharit sacrifice first. But Rav Moshe Feinstein is pointing out is that that's not actually the reason, the only reason that the shacharit comes first. There's actually also in a specific textual inference that the Gemara understood to mean that the structure of the Beit HaMikdash day is the first thing that happens in the Beit HaMikdash day is the offering of the Tamid Shel Shachar, and the last thing that happens in the Beit HaMikdash day, except for the one exception of 14th of Nisan, is the Tamid Shel Ben Harabayim. Okay, so that's it. The Avodat HaMizbech is Asur Lahatchil B'Korban Acher. The offering, the service on the altar every day can't start with any other sacrifice and must be completed with the Tamid of Ben Harabayim. Then he points out there's another actual reason why we would think the Shacharit would come first. There's Gemara in Zevachim on Peiten Amad Aleph, which has a Mishnah there that says HaTamidin Kod Min LaMusafim, that the regular sacrifices, the daily sacrifices, come first. That we would have thought it should have said come first because of Tadir Sheino Tadir, because the more regular one is always done first. But the Gemara there, the Mishnah there, sorry, derives it, quotes a pasuk, Milvad Olat HaBoker Asher Lo'at HaTamid, that when the Torah summarizes or talks about the Musaf sacrifice, the additional sacrifices for special days, it says, and this is in addition to or other than the Olat HaBoker, the morning Ola, the morning burnt offering, that was the daily offering. Omeforash B'Matnitin, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, Shumishum T'Tadir Kodim, Shitchil D'Kolat T'Tadir Kodim. The Mishnah there says, it's about Tadir V'Sheinu Tadir, and he learns it in terms of also that Musfei Shabbos are before Musfei Rosh Chodesh, right? Let's say you have a Rosh Chodesh on a Shabbat. So what's the order of sacrifice going to be? It's going to be the Shacharit, because that's Tadir, that's more regular, right? That's one reason. And then the Shabbat, because that's more regular than the Musaf, because there's 52 Shabbatot a year, and there's only, you know, depending on in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, there would only theoretically have been 12 or 13 if you had an extra month, because you're not supposed to get to two Musafim, because you're supposed to, anyway. You could have, but you certainly wouldn't have as many Musafim for Rosh Chodesh as you would have Shabbatot, and therefore you would put that first. So Ramosh says, but the truth is, what you see in that Mishnah is from the fact that it quotes that pasuk Milvad Olat HaBoker Shalot Tamid, and also it says in the Olat HaTamid it says Baboker, and it says in the Musafim it says Bayom, so morning is sort of before the whole day, as Tosfos there says. So he says that this din of offering it first is not only a din of Tadir. We learn it from this pasuk of this, and we also learn from a pasuk that you give it before the Minchat Kavitin, which also came every day. So there's no good reason why that should come first, though, but you have a pasuk that tells you that it comes first. So all of that shows for emotion that you have several inferences and verses for various reasons that tell you that the Shacharit comes first, either because the sacrifice, the Korban Tamid of Shacharit, of the morning of Shachar, came first, either first, because of Tadir Sheino Tadir, true. But second, because this the whole Mizbeach's day only started with that. And third, because he had a specific verse about it coming before the the musaf sacrifice in those situations. And therefore, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, when they established the prayer of Shacharit, they did it. So there's a whole discussion in the Gemara about whether the Shacharit that we daven is because of the tradition that the patriarchs, the Avot, daven Shacharit, or is it because we're doing it in correspondence to the sacrifice. So there's a lot of evidence either way, and it's probably to some extent both, but in any case, it's certainly plausibly this. So when Moshe Feinstein says, so when they establish Shacharit prayer, it would make a lot of sense. They established Keneged HaTamid. That's what we assume that they did. They did it in correspondence to that sacrifice, and therefore it would seem to him that they meant to correspond it to all of those halachot. So it should be the first thing of our prayer day. That's an interesting question for other topics to talk about at the time. It's more tadir, and it's specifically supposed to come before the musaf. And then he says, and that's even if we assume that the importance of davening with the community is really more important than the fact of tadir sheno tadir, right? Nonetheless, you can't put it before shacharis because we have this reason that it's supposed to be the first thing. Right? It's supposed to be the first thing in the morning. Now, it's just to me that when he says that, he's assuming that a private shacharit is also corresponding to the... He doesn't say this explicitly, but it's clear in his inference is what he's assuming, that the private shacharit that I would say as an individual corresponds nonetheless to the korban tamid, right? Because that halacha of the Torah saying that the first thing that happened on the altar in the morning had to be the shacharit, the tamid shel shachar, the daily sacrifice of the morning. I could easily imagine somebody saying, well, that only applies if I'm saying shacharit, if I'm davening, if I'm praying with the community, because then it's sort of like the mizbeah. When Rav Moshe Feinstein says, no, this halacha applies such that a person has to say shacharit in their private day, what he seems to be saying is that when Chazal established the prayers, the regular prayer three times a day and more on other days, and they made it correspondent to the sacrifices, they made each of our lives like a Mizbeach day, is what he's assuming. So that in my personal life, I have to make sure that the first prayer that I say is Shacharit. That's why he's understanding it. So that's, to me, an interesting inference to get, right? It's an assumption. It means that our daily davening day is somewhat akin or somewhat parallel to, as far as Chazal made it, what used to happen on the Mizbeach. Not only that, he says also the whole idea that you can't have to start with that. We have never found that Tefillah B'Tzibur should overrule that. So even though it's clearly true that if the person said Musaf, if they went back and said Shacharis, they're Yotze, Bidi Avad, if they've done it, he thinks that you shouldn't daven Musaf for Shacharis ever, even if the value is that you get Tefillah B'Tzibur, you get a communal experience. And then he says he's not even sure that Tadir would get you to do it, because there's another example. This is a much more common example, although today I think we mostly avoid it, but it's a much more plausible example that comes up. We have a halacha discussed in Tur Orach Chaim in Reish Pei Vav about Yom Kippur. Let's suppose the community left Musaf. They didn't get to Musaf. If they started Musaf already, everybody understands they wouldn't have to interrupt Musaf to start Mincha. But let's suppose that Shacharit went so long that it was plausible, and I've been in shuls where this happens, where this is close to happening. Let's suppose they daven Musaf for so long that it's plausible. It's daven Shacharis for so long that it's plausible they won't get to Musaf until it's a time that you could daven Mincha, right? It's after 6.5 Sha'od's Maniot of the day. Remember that in Halacha, you split the day, let's assume, from sunrise to sunset. There's a whole debate about that, but let's assume for our purposes, split the day sunrise to sunset in 12 parts. After 6.5 of those hours, basically, or after the middle of that day, a half hour later, or 1/24 of the day later, that's the time for Mincha. So let's say they're still in Shacharis, they're just finishing Shacharis, and it's already time that one could plausibly daven Mincha. So Tosfos had said that they think you have daven Mincha first. Why do you have daven Mincha first? Because it's Mincha's time. And here already it becomes purely a question of Tadir v'Shino Tadir. It's interesting that Moshe notices that claim you should daven Mincha first, but doesn't notice that that seems to contradict the whole idea that he had said before, that if Mincha is going to correspond to the Tamid Shel Ben Arba'im, then you might argue it has to be the last thing in your davening day before nightfall. He doesn't need to get into it. He doesn't notice that Tosfos does not accept that, does not even entertain that idea. So Tosfos says you should daven mincha first. And why should you daven mincha first? Because it's tadir sheino tadir. It comes first, therefore you should do it. The Rambam, however, wrote that there are those who say that we don't do it in a communal davening because we don't want people to make a mistake, meaning they might not remember that you have to daven musaf because they're so used to mincha being the last thing they say or coming after musaf, they won't remember to go back. Or something like that. But because you're afraid of mistakes, we have them do musaf anyway, even though the argument about tadir was apparently convincing to him as well. Then the Tur writes, the Adoni Avizal, meaning the Rush, who was an important Rav and moved from Germany to Spain and then became like the chief rabbi in Toledo where he moved to, right? Because he was a well-recognized Gadol. And I mentioned that today because it comes up in this responsum. It's a relevant piece of the responsum. The Torah writes that his father on Yom Kippur, apparently it was common that it happened in shuls in those days, that you wouldn't finish shacharis. We today finish, you know, I think shuls finish, many shuls, at least the shuls that I have been in, will finish maybe 2:30, 3 o'clock. We'll have, you know, a 1 hour break, 2 hour break, 3 hour break. So those kinds of shuls, they've clearly gotten to musaf before midday. Right? And then they have musaf, and then they go home and they have a rest. But if you don't have a break, if you're one of those shuls that doesn't have a break, so then the whole day's rhythm changes, and it often means that they don't get to musaf till relatively late in the day, right? If you're going to be in shul all day, basically, so you're not going to get to mincha till 5, which means if you were going to have mincha after musaf, and musaf doesn't take, so it could be you only get to musaf at 1 o'clock. So if you only get to musaf at 1 o'clock, you have this problem. So apparently it happened in the Rosh Shul a lot, and the Torah writes his practice was to daven musaf biyachid. He would say musaf privately so that he can say it at the right time. Now that's what the Torah writes. That's the end of what the Torah writes. But what Rav Moshe says, and I think this is what he means, what it clearly means, that the Tzibor would do like the Rambam. They were going to go in the order they're used to, because you don't want to have people make mistakes, but they were going to, and ignoring the time, and it happened to be they were going to end up getting to musaf after it's already the time that mincha could be said. The Tosfos therefore thing, you really should be saying mincha first, and the Rush. What he would do is, he would leave the room, basically, at 6 hours of the day, meaning at midday, so it's not yet mincha time. He would go somewhere else and daven musaf, so that he could have daven musaf before mincha was an issue, and not have to get into that issue, and not violate the problem of tadir v'sheino tadir. So, in other words, then he was giving up on saying his musaf bitzibor because he thought the value of saying of avoiding the problem of tadir v'sheino tadir was more important. So that sounds like tadir v'sheino tadir is so important a principle, according to the Rush, that he, and it's more important than tefillah bitzibor. So to avoid the problem, he made sure to daven musaf before it became an issue, because he thought that, because not that he thought the community's practice was wrong, he thought the community's practice was what they were told to do by the Rambam, but he thought that wasn't really the right practice. The preferable practice would be tadir sheino tadir, say mincha first, and he didn't want to get into that, so he did what he did. So that being true, then all the more so, right, that if it's a shacharis question, you would say shacharis if you had the problem first, because he reversed had all these other reasons. But even just because of tadir, it would seem like you'd really do it. That's especially true because the mincha issue of tadir, that's a big question, because the whole question of whether once 6.5 hours of the day, right, once a little bit after midday arrives, whether that's really the time of mincha such that it's pressing, that's a debate among the Moraim and the Rishonim and the Achronim. It's not clear that we think that's a mincha that's so pressing. That might be another support for the Rambam's idea that you say musaf anyway, is that while Tosfos says once it's time for mincha, you should say mincha first, but it's not so clear that that's immediately the time for mincha, because there are those who think that it's not fully the time for mincha until what's called mincha ktana, which is later in the day. And once that's not clear, and it was never paskined in halacha, Rav Moshe says, so the Rush knew that as well, and once it was never fully paskined, it means that if a day comes, or God willing, when the day comes, that, you know, it's Sanhedrin gets together and starts picking up the unfinished business of halakha for the past thousands of years, including those questions that were never formally decided, and they sit and they argue it out and they discuss it and they work on the issue and they come to conclusions, they might end up deciding that yes, the time for mincha isn't until mincha ktana, much later in the day, not mincha gedola. In which case, there would be no question that if the community gets to only gets to the Musaf, you know, after 7 hours of the day, that they can and should say Musaf, and then it'll turn out that the Rosh will have been doing his whole thing of going off and davening Musaf on his own for no good reason. Nonetheless, he did so. So Rav Moshe is saying the fact that he did so shows that he held that the principle of Tadir v'sheinu Tadir, that the more usual thing comes first, is a biblical principle. It's a d'oraita principle. Now, it's not a complete requirement. It's not le'ikuva. It's not like if you don't do it, you've done it completely wrong, but it's preferable. Whereas the whole idea of tefillah b'tzibur, Rav Moshe says, is a d'rabbanan. So we certainly take d'rabbanan seriously. The fact that d'rabbanan doesn't mean we ignore it. But Tadir Sheino Tadir comes first. And therefore, and he says, he doesn't know of anybody who says the Rosh didn't do the wrong thing, who disagrees with the Rosh that he did the wrong thing. Now, other people didn't do it, meaning you don't have this long tradition of any shul that tended to get to Musaf so late in the day that you could have theoretically done Mincha first, watch, you know, rabbis all over the world going out early to daven Musaf on their own, and the Torah didn't write that we should follow the Rosh. So Rav Moshe says that that's because if you do it, then people will notice what you're doing. And they'll notice that you're separating yourself from the community, right? So, meaning, let's suppose Gideon Rothstein is davening in a shul, and this shul is not going to get to Musaf until, you know, 1:30 in the afternoon. 1:30 in the afternoon is clearly already plausibly the time for Mincha, and therefore, theoretically, Tosfos would have held that we should daven Mincha first. However, our shul, like all shuls, is going to follow the practice of the Rambam for lots of reasons, including we don't want them to make a mistake. So Gideon Rothstein says, oh, but I know a Rosh, because I once upon a time learned the response of a day, and I'm going to go out at, you know, 12 to make sure I daven Musaf while they're doing whatever they're doing. Meaning if they don't get to Musaf to 1:30, means they're saying lots of piyutim and lots of whatever they're saying. So I say, I'll miss 10 minutes of that. I'll go out, I'll daven my Musaf, and it'll all be great. Rosh says, no. The reason why the Torah doesn't recommend that, and he doesn't, and the reason why we don't have a history of people doing that is because for people to separate themselves from the community and do such a practice is mechzi kiyur. Mechzi kiyur means it looks like I'm thinking so highly of myself. Look at him. His one remaining problem in halacha was he didn't want to get caught davening Musaf maybe at before Mincha when he should have done Mincha first. So it looks like you're such a giant that that's your big issue. So once the community is allowed to do what they do, because the Rambam passed that way, we follow the Rambam on this issue. So then for me to be more stringent, now the question will become in other areas of halacha, where does this come up? Where do we allow ourselves to be machmir, to act more stringently than the rest of the community, and where don't we? But in this case, Rav Moshe says, he thinks that the reason why it didn't become a practice is because it looks like I'm saying very clearly, whoever does it is saying very clearly, I'm better than you guys. You guys have to say Musaf first because we're worried you might make mistakes and you might not remember the right order, but me, yeah, I can do it. So I'm going to go out and I'm going to daven Musaf first. So also, he suggests, maybe in many shuls, there were no specific place they could go to where nobody would see them, to daven privately and silently their Musaf. And you couldn't do it in the shul. Why can't you do it in the shul? Because they'll see you and they'll know what you're doing to separate yourself from the community. So these are broad principles that Rosh is throwing in there, Rosh Feinstein is throwing in there, that I think bear noticing and keeping in mind. Right? The idea of merci qui or we have to work hard not to look like we think of ourselves as better than others. The idea of not separating ourselves from a community by davening something in the middle of a shul where everybody will see it. These are, I think, important principles. And then he says it's also possible that So if they didn't have a place in the shul, maybe they're not required to walk all the way to their house, and maybe they're going to miss too much, and maybe the time is pressing. So they used to live far from shul, he says. Interesting. But maybe that's another reason. So what about the Rosh? How did he do it? So Rosh says he thinks he must have had a place where he had a, you know, like an office, let's say, or a study, and he'd go in there for a few minutes. Nobody would really know what he was doing. They wouldn't realize he was going out and down. They might think he was looking up a something or other, but he had a place. And, or, you might have also thought that since time is pressing, meaning he's not going to be able to do this later once they get it to Mincha time, he might have thought he was allowed to pray in the shul itself, and people would see him doing it, they would know what he was doing, and it would be okay. Why would it be okay? And it wouldn't be a question of you or of him looking arrogant, because they all knew that he was Gadol HaOlam, that he was really the giant of his generation. Now, it's true that he was a giant, right? It's true that his Torah knowledge and his Torah leadership was, in fact, that of the generation. It's still, nonetheless, interesting that Rav Moshe Feinstein would think that if somebody has that status, they would have the right to, in front of others, act in a way that other people would not have the right to act, and to expect that the community would say, oh, sure, that's the Rosh. We know what he's doing. And yes, it's just him because he's very special. And when that would or wouldn't come up, I think that's an interesting question. I don't think, I could be wrong, but I don't think Rav Moshe Feinstein himself would have allowed himself, even later in his life when he was clearly, meaning you could argue for various reasons, that until relatively late Rav Moshe Feinstein's life, he wasn't the acknowledged Gadol HaDor even in America. Rav Henkin was alive and there was competition, and Rav Moshe actually started publishing his Igrot Moshe relatively late in his life. As far as I can tell, his first volume came out in 1950 when he was a 55-year-old man. And Baruch Hashem, he had many years left, and he produced tremendous amounts of great work for us that we are the beneficiaries of. But I don't think he would have allowed himself to do this. So I think that's an interesting thing to watch. So the Rush was allowed to, and the Rush did it, and that's the way it was. Then he says, somebody showed me that Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan in Be'er Yitzchak, which is a sefer Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan specters, who was an important, who was like the top posek of the late 1800s, so I guess two generations before Rav Moshe Feinstein, he was asked this exact question, and he gave the other answer. So you'd think maybe Rav Moshe would say, oh, so I should change my mind, but Rav Moshe doesn't have to do that, and he doesn't back down at all. That he wrote that if you write Musaf B'tzibor, if you dive in Musaf with the community, you're Neshave Mikudash. It confers sanctity on the person. And therefore, the Rav Yitzchak Elchanan thought that was better. So he says, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, I think Rav Yitzchak Elchanan forgot or didn't notice what the Torah wrote in Reish Pei Vav and in Tav Reish Chaf, that the Tadir of Mincha is more important than Musaf B'tzibor. So the Tadir of Mincha, the fact that Mincha is so regular, is really preferable and comes before saying Musaf with the community. All the more so that Shacharis, even if you're going to do it, be Yechidus is better. So he says it's surprising. And then he says, but I have to also make sure that the proofs, so Rav Yitzchak Elchanan brought proofs for his view. So he says, let's see what his proofs are so I can show you that I don't think that they are anything that we have to worry about. He says, first of all, he doesn't understand this whole idea of being Mekudash from saying Musaf with a Tzibor. So he writes that So Rav Yitzchak Elchanan thought the fact that the halacha is that if there is a tzibur davening, there's a community davening, a person is supposed to travel up until the halacha was, and this is the time when they were walking mostly, up until 4 milin, which is about an hour's walk, maybe a little more, that's the whole question whether it's 72 minutes or 60 minutes, but somewhere around 72 minutes walk on the way that person is going, and up until a meal, about 18 to 22 minutes backwards in order to be able to secure davening with the community. So that shows, for Rav Yitzchak Elchanan, the sanctity involved in praying with the tzibur. And the Mogen Avraham thought you could even make an Eruv Tchumen. Eruv Tchumen is on Shabbos. Ordinarily, we're only allowed to go 2,000 amot outside of our city, out of our town. 2,000 amot is a little less than a mile. Three quarters of a mile about, and the Magen Avraham. But Chazal had said you're allowed to leave an Eruv Tchumen. You're allowed to leave some food just towards the edge of the Tchum, of the mount you would be allowed to go, and make that your official place of residence for Shabbos, and that gives you another, three quarters of a mile. And he thought you could do that even just for the purpose of being able to daven with the Tzibur. So that shows that davening with a community is very important. And the Kavos Yair also thought so. Not only can you make an Eruv, you can be Kona Shvita, another similar idea for the purpose. So all these show how important and how valuable davening with the community is. And the reason it's so valuable, Rav Moshe says, is that the Gemara in Brachos makes it clear that your prayers, our tradition is that prayers are more accepted when they're offered in the context of a community. If I'm davening with a community, I have every reason to think that my prayers will be more accepted, because the Gemara quotes Amar of Achab, Bichanina, I think, to receive Kabir v'lo yimas, that Hashem is so powerful, won't reject. And Rashi says, Tfilat Rabim, lo yimas, that he won't reject the prayers of the community. And Rav Moshe suggests that he thinks it's because Rav Yochanan says in the name of Shem Yochai there, and Rav Yishuv Bichanina, I think, says over there that it's an eight ratzon. When a community is davening, it's a time of desirability before Hashem, and therefore it's more accepted. And the pasuk says, Vanit Filati, the eight ratzon, I should daven at a time when it's an eight ratzon, when I have more reason to think my prayers would be accepted. And that's why Rav Yitzchak Elchanan thought that the obligation, Tawa the Tzibor, is not just an Eitz Tovah. That's good advice because you'll be better off. But he thought it might be an actual rabbinic, maybe, but an actual obligation in the sense of, I'm going to offer a prayer to Hashem. I should be doing everything I can to be finding ways to make sure that my prayer will be one that is appealing to Hashem, that I have reason to believe, based on halachic sources, is the kind of prayer that Hashem wants. So the Rosh points out that the Gemara in Brachos Chav Bet Amid Bet that says if you're praying and you see that there's disgusting materials there, like manure, right? So Rava says, if a person is a sinner and hasn't done tshuva, their prayer is rejected. And the Ri and the Tosus there thought that meant you had to pray again. And the Rif and the Rush, we see that in some halachos of these kinds of things. If you say, if a person's a Rasha about an issue and they can't therefore pray appropriately, they might have to go back and do it again. So you see in all these ways that there are ways in which if you offer a prayer that you have reason to believe won't be accepted, doesn't really even count as a prayer. So if it doesn't count as a prayer, you'd have to do it again. But Rav Moshe says all of those things that are named in that Gemara are biblical problems in the offering of a prayer. Whereas the whole idea of davening with a tzibur, davening with a community, is an important idea, and it makes a prayer better and more likely to be accepted. And it's also like zekeli v'anveu. It has some biblical roots in the idea that we're supposed to do mitzvot in the best way possible. But it's still nonetheless only the Rabbanan. And that's why they required him to go 4 million ahead, right? To go an hour's walk ahead or 18 minutes walk behind or around there. But all of those things are what they required. But that doesn't prove that you're a mekudash, that you're more sanctified. It doesn't prove that it outweighs all the other issues. And therefore, all the other issues that Rosh raised lead him to believe that no, that tefillah shacharis comes first, that praying shacharis comes first, no matter what, even if the person is going to have to sacrifice tefillah mitzibur. And that is Rav Moshe Feinstein's response today for the 28th of Cheshvan, letting us know that the rules of shacharis coming first, for various reasons, including the principle of tadir v'sheino tadir, outweigh the value of saying musaf with a tzibur. Have a great day.